good to see each of you here this evening. Friday afternoon, I picked up Jacob from school, and as we were riding along, we came past a pond where normally there are ducks. And I said, "Look, Jacob, all the ducks have drowned." He looked at me and he says, "Granddaddy, ducks don't drown. If you're a duck, this is beautiful weather. Otherwise, it's not so wonderful. But we need the rain, and it's good to see the water table being built up. And God provides rain and sunshine. We're going to talk this evening about the promised land. If you go back to the book of Exodus and chapter 3, and I'm not going to read a whole lot there, but in Exodus chapter 3, you have the story of Moses, you remember, and he saw this bush that was burning, and God appeared to him there in the first part of the chapter, and God said, "Don't come close to me, take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground." And then he said to him in verse 7 of chapter 3, he said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've given heed to their cry because of the taskmasters. I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." Don't you remember those names? I don't care if you don't, can't recite them back to me. Just remember all those names are there. God told Moses, he said, "I'm going to send you on this mission. You're going to go and you're going to go down to Egypt. You're going to bring these people back out of the land of Egypt. You're going to bring them to the land of Canaan. And there I'm going to give them this inheritance, a land that flows with milk and honey." Now, you remember, went down to Egypt. And while he was there, Pharaoh said, "No, people are not going anywhere." And finally, after 10 plagues, the last of which was the death of the firstborn, and this was the beginning of the Passover feast, you remember, and as they were preparing for that last night that this plague was going to take place, in Exodus chapter 13, there we find that Moses is telling the people, and he says in verse 4 of chapter 13, "On this day of the month Abib, you're to go about to go forth. And it shall be when the Lord brings you to a land of the Canaanite and the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall observe this day in this month." God said, "I'm going to give you this land, and it is a land that flows with milk and honey." That's not literal. He wasn't telling them, "You're going to go into this land, and it's going to actually be milk and honey flowing down the side of the hill." That's not what he's saying. He's saying, "This land is so wonderful, and you're going to be blessed so richly." It's like just going to this wonderland that is there, and you've got all of this nourishment, and it's just there for you, and all you got to do is just go out and get it. What we would call paradise. Well, you know the story, how they left Egypt. You remember how that they went through various things as they journeyed going toward the land. And in Numbers chapter 13, and I'm not going to be reading so much here as I am just going to be talking about it, but in Numbers chapter 13, we find that they approach the land of Canaan. They've gone from Egypt. Now they're up here ready to go in. God said to Moses, he said, "Choose 12 men, one from each tribe. And I want you to take these men and send them into the land so that they might spy out the land." And so Moses chose the 12 men, one from each tribe, a leader from each tribe. He issued their decree, he gave them their mission. He said, "You are to go into the land. You are to look it over very closely. Try to cover all of it if you can. Try to bring back some of the fruit if you can. But the main thing is you need to look and see what kind of cities are there. Are they opened up or are they fortified? Are they built on hills or are they down in the valleys? Is the land, the terrain, is it all mountainous or some of it desert? Are there woods or is it clear? Just see everything you can about the land because we're fixing to go up there and we're going to take this land. We need to know everything about it that we can possibly know." And so these 12 men went into the land And for a month and a half, for 40 days, they spied out the land. They came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut a single cluster of grapes that was so large that they had carried on poles between two men's shoulders. They also brought back some pomegranates and some other fruit. They came back to the camp and they told Moses, they said, the land is exactly like God said it would be. It is a wonderful place. But you wouldn't believe the people there. There are sons of Anak, the Anakim. Now that's a family that were giants. This is the family that later Goliath comes from. He said, there are these giants in there. And you don't understand, there are Canaanites, and there are Hivites, and there are Jebusites, and there are Hittites, and all of these different people in there, and there ain't no way we can go in there and take that land. Caleb tried to quiet the people down, and he was one of the 12 spies, you remember. And Caleb tried to quiet the people down, and he said, we can go take the land. You need to understand, God is with us. Surely we can take the land because God will be on our side and He will take away their strength and they will not be able to fight against us and we will be able to go in even as God has promised us. The children of Israel took up stones to stone Caleb and Joshua, Moses and Aaron. The people wept all night long. They cried out and they said, we wish that we had just died out in the wilderness. We wish we hadn't come all this way because now we're going to be killed by these terrible people. We wish that maybe we'd stayed in Egypt and we never had even come out of Egypt. And so they conspired together and decided that what they would do is they would appoint a new leader and they would kill Moses and they would go back to Egypt to become slaves. Finally, God had enough. And it says, the glory of the Lord appeared before the tent of meeting, that is the tabernacle. That put a stop to their murmuring, at least for a moment, because God was there. God told Moses, He said, I've had enough of this. 10 times they have rebelled against me. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy the children of Israel. I'm going to start a new nation with you and your descendants. And your people can go in and take the land, but these people are going to die right here. Moses said, God, don't do that. He said, the Egyptians and all of these different people that have heard about your wonders and your mighty works and how you've brought us all up out of Egypt, they will hear about this and their conclusion will be that you got us up as far as the entrance to the land of Canaan, but you were not powerful enough to take the land, and so you killed all of your own people. He said, God, you're a God of mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness. He said, you have forgiven these people ever since we left Egypt for the things they have been doing, and according to your loving kindness and your mercy, would you forgive these people again? And God said, I will forgive them. So God forgave the children of Israel for what they had done in their rebellion. But He said, doesn't mean they're not going to be punished. He said, you tell the children of Israel that they're going to get what they asked for. They said they wish they had died in the wilderness, and that's what's going to happen to them. Every man that is old enough to be numbered, which would put them somewhere around the age of 20, every man that is old enough to be numbered will die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And their children, that they said would become prey to the people in the land of Canaan, will go into the land, and they will enjoy the blessings that I have in store for them. The next morning, the children of Israel got up, and they said, we've done wrong. We've decided that God really is on our side, and so what we're going to do is we're going to take the army and we're going to go in and we're going to fight. and we're going to take the land. Moses said, you can't do that. God's not going to go with you. God has told you you're not going in now. He's told you you're going to die in the wilderness. You're not going in. And if you go, you're going up by yourself, and you will be destroyed. But they wouldn't listen to him. So they went to fight the Canaanites. Moses didn't go. The Ark of the Covenant didn't go. And sure enough, they were defeated. Then God sent a plague on the 10 spies who would gave the bad report, persuaded the children of Israel they couldn't go, and those 10 spies died. God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness one day, or 1 year, for every day that the spies were in the land, for 40 years. And so as you read the rest of the history there in the Old Testament, what you find is that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God took care of them. The clothes didn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. He provided food. He provided water. He gave them everything that they needed to sustain life. But the older generation that was there wandered in that wilderness until every single one of them had died. And then God let the next generation go into the land of Canaan. As I think about that story that we've just looked at, I think how God has promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. He's promised us a paradise. He's promised us heaven. He says, here is this place that is so wonderful it can't even be described. It's like you got streets of gold and crystal rivers and you got all this gates of precious stones. He said, I'm telling you about a place that is so wonderful, you can't even put words that would describe how great it is. But you know, just like he told the children of Israel from the day he talked to Moses at the burning bush, he said, you're going to have to fight against the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all these other people. They're going to be there. You're going to have your problems. You know, God tells us the same thing. God said, you know, I'm going to give you this promised land. It's here, but along the way, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have Satan trying to keep you from getting there. And you're going to have to deal with these things, and you deal with them in the same way that the children of Israel should have dealt with them. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says that they did not enter the land because of their unbelief. You see, the problem is they did not trust God. God said, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of the people. You just go in. They said, we can't do it. They're too big. There's too many of them. They're giants. And there will be times in our lives that we have to face giants. And we don't know how we're going to make it. And we don't know how we're going to get around our problems, whatever they may be. And they're so varied, I'm not going to try to number them. But we face these things. And we face temptations that are so strong. But you know, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about the children of Israel and how they wandered in the wilderness and how they were unfaithful to God and how they didn't trust God. And he said God destroyed them, and he gives different examples of how God destroyed them in different times. And he said, now these things are written for your example and for your learning. In other words, he says, let's look at what they did and let's don't make the same mistake. And it is in that context that he says that with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. But he said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And so we need to understand that yes, there are going to be problems. God has promised us this wonderful land. You remember in Hebrews 11, Abraham was a sojourner in the land of Canaan. You remember how that he wandered around and he never owned a parcel of land other than a burial spot for his wife? And he said, yet he never wavered in unbelief because he was looking for a better land, one that was not made with hands, but one that was eternal in the heavens. And so it is for us as we live for God. We're not looking for a physical land. We're not looking for a land that has its physical boundaries. But we're living for that eternal home whose maker and builder is God. We're looking for that home in heaven. And the way we attain it is by being faithful to God, by trusting Him and doing what He tells us. Children of Israel rebelled over and over and over again. They would be chastised, they would be punished. Moses would read to them from the book of God, and he would tell them what God said, and they would, every time, they would say, okay, we're going to do what God says, we're going to be faithful. And for a little while they would, and then they would do it again. And so it is today that at times we may falter and we may stumble along the way, but God is still a God of loving kindness and mercy and forgiveness. And those who are in Jesus Christ can be forgiven as we make this journey along life's way, so that we can have the promise of that new land, the promise of heaven. What a wonderful thought to know that there is something that is better than what we have here. You know, there are some very deep questions that have been discussed all through the ages, and probably everybody deals with them in one way or another. And you, what is the origin of man? How do we get here? Second question is the purpose of man. Why are we here? And the third question is, what is the destiny of man? Is there life after death? And these are questions that everybody has to deal with, and yet the Bible tells us the answers to these questions. And all of the answers are found in Jesus Christ. He is the maker of all things. He is the sustainer of life. He tells us our reason for living is to serve God and to bring glory to Him. And He promises us a home in heaven if we serve Him faithfully. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then you don't have that promise. And yet, that promise is there for you. If you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, if you're willing to turn away from sin and repentance and be baptized in Christ. If you're here this evening, you're subject to His invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.